This episode is brought to you by Habit Aware. My Keen 2 brings awareness to my trichotillomania by giving my wrist a gentle hug or vibration when I'm doing the scanning behavior. Bring awareness into your life by visiting barbaralally.com/habitaware and use code LALLYLOVE for 10% off the replacement training bundle.
Hi, my name is Maddie and I'm 25 years old and I've had trichotillomania since I was about 14 years old. I really only pull from my scalp and the left side of my head, which is my non-dominant hand. So I think that kind of just stemmed from me doing homework or on my phone. My other non-dominant hand is the one that's pulling. I kind of noticed my trich really like intensifying and increasing as I was getting closer to my high school graduation. Once I graduated, you know, I was growing up, I got a job, I was in college, and I think that transition in my life was just overwhelming for me. And I think my pulling was a way to really cope with it. At the beginning, I was really self-conscious. I had no idea how to wear my hair in a way that was going to cover my hair thinning because it was so bad. But I think after 10 years, I've just kind of figured out what works, what doesn't work.
So I too pull from my left hand on my left side of my head, and it's my non-dominant hand. I have tried, because of my thinning, I've tried to pull on the right side of my scalp, and the sensation is not the same. Is that the same for you?
Yes, it's definitely not the same using my right hand. And not only is the act of pulling soothing to me, but it's also the texture of the hair or how the hair feels. And that's really only in my left, like pointer finger and my thumb. So it just does not work the other way, which I'm kind of glad. Like, I don't pull from my right hand. I can just wear my bracelet, my Keen bracelet on one hand, but it's definitely not the same on the other side of my head.
When you first started pulling, do you remember finding the name and figuring out what this was?
Yes. Yeah, so I kind of started pulling when I was in high school, but in the beginning, it was very moderate. I could control it. I could hide it. And I think on my own, I just searched, you know, why am I doing this to myself? And I kind of put a name to it, basically. And it was this really big, scary word. But when I was able to tell my mom, I'm doing this to myself, because I knew I was doing it, and I got to a point where I couldn't hide it anymore. And I was beginning to develop a very small bald spot on my head. And I showed my mom, and I was like, I think I have this disorder, you know, and she was kind of confused. So was I. I was just really lost, and I felt so alone. And I was just tired of keeping that a secret. And I got with a therapist, and she really helped my mom and I understand what this was, why I was doing it, what it could have stemmed from. And that's when I was like officially diagnosed with this disorder. And I haven't really done therapy since then, but I am thankful for my therapist at that time, because I was in a point in my life where you're already so self-conscious in high school. And I think, you know, trich is more common in women. And I think it kind of affects us differently, because I'm very girly. I love to do my hair, but it's difficult. And she was there for me, and she kind of helped me lay the foundation of my trich, and she kind of let me explore it more and develop my own ways to cope with it.
Shout out to her, because I know so many people, me included, where we seek help and we have to be the ones to educate, but to have someone educate us, that must have felt really good.
Oh yeah. And she actually had experience with this disorder as well. So it really just worked out, and she was able to give me her own experiences. So I was very lucky to find someone who had this, because although it is a common disorder, what's the odds of me finding a counselor nearby that had this as well?
When you were going through that, did you find different strategies to try to lessen your pulling?
Yeah, so my combination right now, I've had trick for so long. I've tried many different things. Some things just don't work for me. Fidgets, maybe here and there. My combination right now is my Keen bracelet, toot toot, but also a bonnet is also just really good for your hair in general. But they're really inexpensive. They're on Amazon. And having my hair covered and kind of tight helps me from not to not pull. And it's like honestly changed my life. I don't pull from my eyebrows, but they grow extremely fast. So I'm constantly looking at a very magnified mirror. And that can be triggering for me. I tend to go up a little higher than my eyebrows and will nitpick at my scalp. So I've also found that wearing a thick makeup headband that covers my scalp really prevents me, because mirrors for me can be kind of triggering. So I've just kind of narrowed down my triggers and found ways to prevent them.
Do you pull from any other areas? You said mostly your scalp.
I only pull from my scalp, although there is times when maybe one hair in my body feels a little different or it has more texture and I'll want it off my body. But I primarily pull from my scalp. When I was younger, I kind of pulled from my eyelashes, but it was very brief and it was soothing. But it was just, I think I was just a kid and just doing it to do it. And
Have you ever experienced other BFRBs like nail biting or skin picking?
I have not experienced other BFRBs, but I, growing up, did experience a lot of OCD behaviors. Like, I had things I would do, and if I didn't do them, the world was going to end the next day. So, I think all my life, I have kind of had things I had to do that were with my mental health, basically.
For me, with my scalp pulling, I have a whole ritual with how I find the hair, what I do after. Would you mind sharing your ritual?
I have certain spots in my head where I pull from, and it's different. I mean, I'll have one spot that I really pull from, and then one spot that I don't really pull from. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I have a spot there. Like, and I just have forgotten. I was like, did I pull there? I think I just do it without noticing. So I'm like, I guess I did. But what I like to do is I just like to run my finger through my hair. And if I find a really short, curly hair or something, then I want it out of there, you know? But I do have a lot of that behavior just going through my hair constantly. And that's why a bonnet is really helpful, because if like if I have my hand one hand doing one thing, it's hard for me to type or go about my day. So that's why I wear the bonnets primarily.
So I know you have the Keen too, and before Habit Aware sponsored Trick Talks, I have the Keen too in the lilac. What made you want to kind of dive into that management strategy?
Well, I've actually already gone through one Keen bracelet. I've been through one charger and I've been through one bracelet. I don't know. I guess I broke it somehow. So I just got the new one. But it's so funny because my counselor, I have an old, I think I still have it. It's an old pamphlet from Keen, extremely old, 2015 maybe. And I always just kind of had it like laying around, never really got to it. But I was seeing, those good old Instagram ads, getcha. But I was looking at it and I was like, this could be something that reminds me not to do it, because I do it unknowingly all the time. And even just having something on my wrist, that is kind of almost enough for me to know that I'm not supposed to do that, you know? So it's been really helpful. But it was just funny how I found that pamphlet one day and I was like, this is crazy.
When I saw them on Instagram, that was my first introduction, and I immediately was on the pre-order list. I'm like, I want to try because
Okay.
just like you grow up and you try so many different things. And I was in the point of my journey where I wasn't necessarily looking for a cure because I had tried thousands and I didn't have success with that, and so I felt bad personally. Instead, I was like, let me try to manage it better. And so you see mine beat to dust.
I know mine had like scratches all over it, like it's, but it's always on me. If I'm awake, it's on my wrist.
When you were in high school and you started developing, thinning and bald spots, did you share with any friends?
I shared with a few friends, but I kept it pretty under wraps because it was manageable. It wasn't until I was out of high school that it was becoming more noticeable. And it's just funny because, well, not funny, but it's interesting because recently, as I've shared with friends, my disorder, they've come and said, I've had a BFRB when I was a kid, or I brought my nails and da da da. So it's just like, you just never know who's experiencing these things. And that's why it was important for me to share my story because this is a common disorder. It's just not talked about a lot. And there's little research done. And that's kind of what can be a little daunting when you're first diagnosed. There's little to no research, there's no cure. But I think once I overcame the thought of trying to fight it or trying to completely stop and just accept it, that's when my journey really became a little bit easier for me because that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself to completely stop. And it took me a long time to get there. It took me years to be able to say, this is what I have, this is why I do it, I can't control it. And that's when it kind of became easier for me.
Do you have certain locations in your house, in the car, that you find that, okay, I know I'm going to be pulling there?
I would say my desk, unfortunately, I spend a lot of time here, but it's where I would do homework or where I work, and that's just when I'm the most stressed. Also in the car, if I'm running late or I'm in traffic, or it's always because of things I can't control, you know? It's always because of things I absolutely cannot control. But I would say my bed sometimes, which is kind of sad, but I mean, the trick does its own thing. I just have to listen and act immediately to prevent myself from losing too much hair in one time. I think when I am experiencing an episode, I'm like down. I feel like I'm down in the ground. I'm like down deep, and I have to like pull myself out of there. And you have to physically get up and, you know, rewire your brain for a second because you can forget you're doing it. And even when you're physically up after an episode, the hair is still on your head, you know, that the trigger is still there. So I just try to like do a task really quick or just kind of like reset my mindset or keep my hands busy or just, but that can be really hard for me sometimes. It's hard to get up during an episode, if that makes sense, to physically get up and stop.
Yeah, that trick trance will suck you in and it will spit you out in 2 hours or three.
Yes, like before I know it, I'm like, how long have I been sitting here? You know, and if that feeling after an episode just is awful, and I used to just really like be so negative in my head by myself, and but I just learned like it's happened. Let's assess tomorrow the damage and let's move on.
Yeah, and you bring up such a good point of and an honest point of how we are so incredibly hard on ourselves. We start very young, and our instinct is to trash ourselves and be so negative. How did you eventually get to the point where you are able to be kind after a pulling episode?
I try to be positive after an episode. I guess I'm just used to the feeling, honestly, and I've just kind of become used to it, and I just have to keep going, you know?
This is something that can continue and for many of us will. And so being able to say, all right, we've been here before, that in itself is much more positive than what we used to say.
Oh my God, yes. After a pulling episode, I probably cry a lot. I cried a lot in high school. I would cry going to bed. I would just ask myself, like, why me? Why is this happening to me? And I was just really self-conscious and I just had nowhere to go. There's no cure, little research, and realizing I might have this for my entire life is just really scary. And not only how this disorder affects you mentally, but how it affects you physically and how your BFRB shows up on your body. But I think once you overcome that barrier of trying to fight it and just accept it for what it is, and you work with it, it does become a little bit easier. And as you begin to recognize your BFRB, you try to explore ways that work for you and tactics that work for you. And because I think everyone's experience is unique, you know, we pull from different areas, we have different pulling tactics, we have different triggers. So if anyone is just starting out, like really just give yourself some grace because you can't control this. And that's a good reminder to have for yourself is you can't control this, even though you're doing it to yourself. That's one of the most, I think, interesting and complicated things about trick or any BFRB is that you're doing this behavior to yourself. And that was one of the biggest things that I had to overcome because with any other addiction, it's not physically on your body. This is on your body. You can't escape your fingernails or your skin. You're living and breathing trick. It's a brain disorder, and it's quite literally on my brain. Every second that I am awake, I am thinking about not pulling, how much I pulled, how does my hair look? Is my bald spot showing? Like, it's honestly mentally exhausting, you know?
Yeah, I think so many people who don't have BFRBs, they say the craziest stuff. Oh, just stop. Oh, don't do it. And it's not only the actual act of hair pulling. I now am paranoid that people are going to see this. And so I have to avoid situations and I have to cover it up and I can't leave the house without doing certain things or I don't feel comfortable. It's heavy, really, really heavy. Have there been moments where you had to avoid things because of your hair loss? Did you know Habit Aware also offers virtual peer coaching? This one-to-one peer-based program will coach you through shifting mindset, practicing healthy strategies, and creating your personal roadmap to recovery. To work with me, Ellen, or Anila, head over to habitaware.com/coaching today.
Yeah, it's so funny. So prior to COVID, I purchased some wigs online, like just messing around, you know, just shopping. And it wasn't until like a couple months into COVID, I like began to like wear them a little bit. And I noticed that it really decreased my pulling because my hair was covered. You know, I didn't have quick access to my natural hair. And even navigating how to wear wigs was extremely difficult, you know? So I wore wigs for a long time. I think a year and a half in, my hair underneath my wigs, my natural hair was just chaotic. Like I had my right hair was really long and pretty, and then I had a lot of regrowth, and the wigs did not eliminate the pulling. So I still had bald spots, and it was just a mess. And I knew that I had to start over, and that was an extremely low point in my journey, and I hope I never have that again. But I knew I needed to shave my head. So my fiance actually helped me. I got some clippers and I shaved my head. I kind of knew that I was wanted to do that. And I'm glad I did do it. It was cool to see my hair all one length, which was the first time in so long. And what's crazy to people, which I always say this, I was able to go underwater in the pool because you have bald spots or the water makes your hair look thinner or you're wearing a hair piece. And when I first did that, I was like, I just want to go under the water in a pool. So it was just really like freeing. I still wore wigs, but I think a couple months into my hair being buzzed, I went on a trip with my family to Austin, and I drove there, and I think I got there kind of late, and I didn't glue on my wig fully. I just put it on, and the next day I was rushing for plans for that day, and I was like, "What if I just don't wear my wig?" And I didn't, and it was crazy. My hair was so like cute and puffy and curly, but it's so funny because I feel like I got a headache because my scalp was literally not used to the sun exposure from being outside. I got a massive headache, but I have not worn wigs since. I tossed her in the trash. And just recently, for the first time, and I think 10 years maybe, I went to the hair salon. And it had been so long since I had done that. I was very scared, but my hair was all one length and it was so long. Mind you, I still had bald spots, but I did find a hair salon downtown in Dallas that specialized in hair pieces, hair loss, hair extensions. And I go to the appointment, and the first thing that I see is a man getting a hair piece put on. And I'm like, thank God, this feels like a safe zone already. My stylist was so sweet, so understanding. I said immediately, I have trich. These areas of my head don't have any hair on them. And I walked out of that salon feeling like a million bucks. I felt amazing. And that was also like a huge win for me, was going to the salon and getting my hair done. And over the years, I've just found ways to help my bald spots be covered. I used to use this spray that you can find at the store. It's for your roots, actually, but it's kind of expensive, y'all. So I found that using a brown tinted dry shampoo is much cheaper and it does the same exact thing. And it also helps because I know if I pull from that area, I'll get brown fingers. And it makes the hair kind of stiff because it's a dry shampoo. So it makes it almost too stiff to pull. So that is kind of what I use now for hiding my bald spots. And I mean, you can use eyeshadow even, but I've definitely found ways to hide them. And at this point in my life, I'm just like, if you see a bald spot, you see it. It is what it is. Like, I can't be put together at all times of my life. And, if someone saw that and they asked me a question, let's talk about it. Let's talk about mental health and what a BFRB is, because people need to know about it. And it's so common. Who would know? People usually don't know that nail biting is a BFRB. And that's, I feel like, very common. When we're anxious, we bite our nails. So I've definitely found ways to keep things looking cute on a budget. But I got my hair cut. I wanted a hairstyle. I had not had a hairstyle in 10 years. And just getting to do my hair, I think because I wore wigs and I was dependent on them, I did not care for my hair at all. I didn't put product in it. I just didn't love my hair. I hated my hair. I hated how it looked. I had a very bad relationship with my hair for a long time. But now I put condition leave-in conditioner in it, and I try to take care of it. And that's, I've also had to learn how to take care of my hair too. I mean, I didn't know how to take care of my hair after all these years. So that was also a new thing for me that I had to learn in my 20s, how to care for my hair.
What is something that you wish people who don't have BFRBs, what do you wish that they knew?
For those people, I wish that they knew that we can't control this. And it's just like someone who has dyslexia, they can't control it, but they find ways to help them read. They go see someone for reading. So I feel like we are just learning how to deal with this, and we can't help it. We didn't ask to have this. So give us a little bit of grace. If you see us with any bald spots or, scabs, ignore it, or let's talk about it. Let's talk about it.
What advice would you give somebody who wants to start sharing about their experience?
I think do it when you are ready. I remember when I was younger, I looked for people online before I even told anyone I had trichotillomania. I went on YouTube or Instagram. I try to find people who were also going through this. And I remember thinking, these women are so brave and so vulnerable to share their stories. And I always knew one day that I wanted to do that. And I think my career in my bachelor's degree in communications and digital communications and media kind of helped me start my Instagram account. And I was so apprehensive about making the initial announcement. I remember I was in the parking lot of my university and I had the post written out, I had the reel made, and I was freaking out. I couldn't press post. But I did it. I was screaming. I was scared. I was relieved. I felt empowering. But it just took me a few years to accept myself and embrace my BFRB and not be ashamed. And I feel like when you're ready to help others and connect with others and, embrace what you're going through, then you should, share your story. And that doesn't mean even online, maybe with your family or with your friends. It's just so much more freeing when someone else knows about it and you can have their support. My parents, my fiance, have always been very supportive of me when I shaved my head, when I made the Taming Trick Instagram account. They have always been by my side and just there for me. I remember being so afraid to tell my fiance that I had this disorder. I didn't even know how to tell him, but he was so accepting and understanding of me. And I think even if you're not ready to share your disorder online, it's so helpful to have a support system with you to go through this disorder with.
Do you have any moments during your trichotillomania journey that you can look back on and kind of find humor in?
It's funny now, looking back, I look at old photos of myself and I just can't even really believe that my hair was so thin and I was just spiraling out of control mentally. And I was just doing the most random things to try to help hide it. Like I was just always wearing hats, always wearing a headband and a bun, and just not even knowing what I was doing with my hair. I look back and I'm like, I could have helped you so many different ways. I actually wore hair toppers for a long time too, which that I'll admit it now, never looked good. But I was doing what I thought was best. And again, difficult to be a woman who has this disorder who, wants to have their appearance look nice and you're just trying to find ways to cope and deal with how thin your hair might be or where you have spots of little to no hair. I think looking back, I can laugh at myself. Do you have any examples for yourself, like of humorous times?
Yeah, so one of the ones that comes to mind right away is when I first started pulling out all my eyebrows, my mom was like, "Oh, I'll draw on your eyebrows for you." And like, she's no makeup artist, so she did her best, but I don't know why or what possessed me to tell her I got it. And I did it myself. And I remember being like, I would just be like, I mean, I drew the craziest eyebrows. And I'm thinking, why did you say no? Have your mom help you. No, they're all cockeyed and a mess, and kids are making fun of me. But for some reason, I told her no. And that is just so weird. I'm looking like, girl, what? Why'd you do that?
I think my experience obviously would have been really different if I had this as a child. I'm just thankful of my journey, and even though I still have trick and I still pull, it is what it is.
And I think too, what is great about hearing everybody's stories is that everyone's experience with trichotillomania is 100% valid. It's like you can't compare and say, oh, this is worse or this is better, because it's debilitating for everyone who has it. And so it's like you said, you have to be, grateful for your journey and find peace within yourself with it, no matter what stage it is.
What is funny is when I first had that small, like nickel-sized bald spot on my head in high school, it was the end of the world, right? And it was sad, of course. But looking back and looking at myself now, girl, if you only knew like how much worse it would get, that's funny. But again, my trick has changed a lot over the years. It's probably the worst it's ever been, and it's probably always going to be that way. I named my Instagram account Taming Trick because I'm just trying to tame it. I'm not trying to stop. That's just probably not going to be in my journey anytime soon, maybe one day, but I just don't really focus on completely stopping. I just focus on managing it, how to minimize my pulling in my episodes, trying to identify my triggers and my stress levels, And just things behind the scenes, you know, why am I so stressed? Am I just pulling to pull? Am I tired? Am I sick? Like, just trying to find the answer or the reason behind why I'm pulling as well.
What has your trichotillomania taught you?
It has taught me that you are not your hair. You are not your disorder. I have trichotillomania, but I'm a fiance, I'm a daughter, I'm so much more than that. It does not define you, and you do not have to have all your hair to be a hot girl, okay? You, no matter how much hair you don't or do have, it doesn't change anything about you. And I've just learned, no matter what state of myself I'm in, no matter what state of life I'm in, or my hair is, I'm still me. I'm not going anywhere. It may be hard, but just try to find the positivity in it. For me, I think it's just, it's kind of empowering. I mean, I was able to do all these things that were stressful, but I did them with the disorder and I accomplished them. So just try to find those glimmers of positivity and hope when you feel like your life is falling apart and your hair is falling off at a very fast rate.
Thank you.